Welcome to the King's Road Podcast. I am your host, the Aries, Justin Yontz, and I am here with...
City Scent. What's up?
I'm doing great, sir. And we are here to change your view on professional wrestling. And what do we got to talk about today? We are talking Raw, the night after Final Four. I don't know the date, but... It's a good date. And here we go. This is Bret Hart. This kid is basically the whole episode.
Kill me, man.
And here we go. So Bret Hart and Sid, they're going to start the show off. But what happens? Austin cuts him off and just starts brawling with Bret. And they can't do the match, which is once again giving Raw this feeling of anything can happen.
Also, the camera angles of how it did it, which I always talk about. I love these kind of camera angles because it's just realistic. I hate how everything is so neat and cut now. I love that. You know, like it used to look, WWF used to look like you're watching a universe happen. Not the WWE universe, like a universe where... You peek in and the cameraman is like the people.
Well, that's been the whole idea. Is it supposed to be, they're showing you a glimpse into it. Also, this is the last Raw with the R, with the Raw stupid letters thing, which is stupid. Actually, is it? No, I think there's one more. Or no, is this one?
This is the last one. Because the next one would be the debut of the opening.
Well, then the next one is the stupid European tour thing, where they do the thing, and then after that is the new opening of Raw. But anyways, what I liked nowadays, if they did this, it would feel like bait and switch, like what they did with The Miz and Lashley, where they just kept teasing it all throughout the night, and they couldn't deliver it. Whereas here, this felt spontaneous because Austin was a loose cannon.
It was completely different, right?
And this is the first time they like really did the pull apart. I mean, I'm watching it right now.
For one, the Miz and Bobby Lashley thing is stupid. It devalued the title tremendously to have a champion so cowardly. This is what I loved about Ric Flair's run. When he was a heel, he was a coward heel, but he was still a man.
Yeah.
You know, like there's just a certain level of bitch that you're not supposed to be if you're a world champ. Yeah. Because while you might be a coward, you're still a coward world champion. That's supposed to mean you're the best. This man like disqualified and ran.
I absolutely hate it. When CM Punk said The Miz and he said it almost like a fuck you, I was like, yes, that is how I view him. Even the sound of his name, like, did you hear when Punk says it? He says it like with such disdain.
Well, let's be honest. Who started the Miz? Like? Everybody always talks shit about the Miz because the real world
hates
and
the
whatnot.
Miz. Cornette hates the Miz. Everybody hates the Miz.
What really started that was when Punk mentioned him about when the Miz went to WrestleMania and the main event instead of him. They use that as the launch point for the pipe bomb, which is like really funny and a fuck you to the Miz, right? So you already know what Punk thinks of the Miz. He thinks of him like people think a guy like Punk or Danielson will see John Cena as that guy or Orton, but no one ever says that because there's a certain level of respect that those guys still have him. But
Cena
the
has
Miz
a toughness
is.
To him that the Miz does. Remember what Bryan Danielson said about him was, you know, he said, you wrestle like a guy who doesn't want to get punched in the face. That
it's
was the
like
thing
what
that
we say
set him
Roman.
Off. And it's true.
Roman is clearly the guy. But, you know, there's a certain level of like he's not a bitch that you're going to get just because of who he is. And like and that's just how someone's always been. You get what I'm saying? Like, you're never going to hear about, like, the Samoan that don't drink. You know, you're never going to hear of the Samoan that loses a fight.
No.
You know, like I feel like so like that kind of someone like that's a
that was Manu.
Yeah, yeah. But like there's a level of old schoolness that comes with them.
Yeah. Yeah, there really is. I mean,
nobody's gonna say Roman fights like somebody that doesn't want to get punched. Nobody's gonna say that he's not a wrestler.
But that's what they think of with like Danielson said that. He said you wrestle like a guy who doesn't want to get punched in the face. And I think he's right.
Of course.
I mean, I don't look at it because I'm not a wrestler, so I don't know, you know. He's looking at things that we don't notice as fans.
Edge put him over like $1 million in his promo. He was talking about how great The Miz was. He was doing a better job of convincing me that The Miz was a star than The Miz does.
The Miz?
Yeah.
I can't.
Like, he was like saying, I jerked the curtain that WrestleMania. You main evented it, beat John Cena. Like,
yeah, because the Rock couldn't wrestle that day. I mean, the Rock beat him.
Exactly.
It was such a throwaway WrestleMania.
The Rock finished with the microphone.
And then the Rock laid out Miz at right after. So it's basically the Rock stands tall. He stood tall in the last two WrestleManias.
It was just a giant tease for WrestleMania 28.
Yeah.
That's all it was.
Which, like, after that, you know, Meltzer was like, well, he's definitely wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because at that time, no one knew if he was going to. But all right, taking it back to Final Four. Well, the next night. Yeah, they can't do the match because Austin just attacks Brett like it's no tomorrow. Also, look,
this is something always done in wrestling. But this makes sense that a feud, a blood feud, is so intense they keep breaking up each other's match. That I understand that. That makes sense.
But here's another thing. Okay, so second, like at the 9 o'clock hour, because I don't think they switched it yet to 10 yet, or 9 to 10, or 9 to 11 yet. Brett at the 9 o'clock hour, Brett's about to go out there again. And this is when Austin basically grabs him and does the attack. This is where he pulls the, you know, the jacket over his head, and he's just kicking him into the fence. And you've got Vince actually is coming in and like separating the two of them. It's like,
that show was great. That show was great.
You know, like when Vince like tries to separate people, he has such bad balance. He does like, he's like that wobbly,
the most uncoordinated guy.
Yeah, he really is so uncoordinated. He's just like his daughter. They are so uncoordinated. And the fact they had a match together is amazing. Before the wedding, she doesn't have a mark on her. But yeah, like I'm on it right now. Vince has got the thing, and he's like, he's separating the two of them, and Austin is still going at him. Like, there's a realness to this fight, this brawl in between the match.
You watching gives it a feel. This is what's most important. It's not a bait and switch, because there's not one person watching Raw that day that didn't know Austin was gonna interfere in every match Bret Hart was gonna do. They said, no interference this time. We all knew that he was going to come out. You could put a cage and that man was going to come out, because that's the kind of feud it was.
Yeah. I mean, you talked a little bit about, you know, they're kind of playing hot potato with the belt at this time. And
greatly devaluing it.
It really is. Kind of.
If I was a booker, after what Sean pulled after the Rumble, I wouldn't have gave him the title again.
Yeah.
Period.
I don't get it. And it's, you know, what I love about this, you know, just I'm wondering right now, like the brawl, it's just, it feels real. You've got Sid who's trying to grab at him, and you've got Vince in between them. They're really trying to pull him off. It's not fake pulling apart. Like when they do a pull apart,
Austin
now,
getting face to face with Vince.
Yeah. When they do a pull apart now, it feels so fake. Even when they did it with Brock and Undertaker, it still feels, you know, choreographed.
I love that brawl.
I know, I love it too, but there's a fakeness about it because the guys aren't really trying to pull them off. Like these guys are really pulling them.
Yeah, but apart. Let's be completely honest here. To me, that's realistic. I feel if there was a fight between Brock Lesnar and Undertaker backstage, you would have a bunch of wrestlers not really trying too hard to pull them apart because of who they are. It makes sense to me because of who they were. It would make sense to me. I'm not going to believe that Chavo Guerrero is going to really use his strength to pull apart a Brock Lesnar or an Undertaker. I'm not going to believe that. In real life, I'm not going to believe that. I'm like, let's be honest here. Those are two. That's why I thought that was a great pull apart, because it made sense that they wouldn't want to go over.
Yeah.
You can't do that anybody.
So they finally get the match. Now they finally get the match in the ring, and it's magic. It's not magic. I mean, it's just Sid and Brett, but you know, Brett's got him in the sharpshooter. And this is the only thing I don't like is when the ref is turned and he hits the chair, and it's almost like he just taps him with the chair. Yeah. And then the ref doesn't see this. This is so stupid. That's the only thing I hated. And then Brett loses to that. I mean, it's like, I don't know. Like, I thought that was kind of lame. Also, I just got to say this. Flash Funk is going to be the stupidest fucking gimmick I've ever seen in my life. I hated shit like that. I remember when I got the Attitude, what was it? The WWF, the Music Volume 2, and they had that. I was like, skip immediately. Don't ever want to hear
it.
It's
like that guy. What was that guy who used to wrestle in WWE?
It's like when Chavo would have that stupid guy. Music. Wait, do you remember the music Chavo has? Like, oh, Chavo. I'm like, are we supposed to pretend like this guy's a sex symbol or something? I'm like, he's a fucking jobber. Who gives a shit? But like, what is he like this ladies' man or something? Like, what is he, Val Venus? What is this?
We're supposed to believe Chavo can pull apart The Undertaker and Brock? Come on. Like, it should look that way. I mean, that's just realistic.
Oh, we're bunch still of back jobbers. That. And that's the thing. They would always
put jobbers. That's the difference, though.
It's always like, jobbers that were pulling them apart.
Exactly. So. The pull apart with these guys were fucking Pat Patterson and Gerald Britt. Like, you have the top brass there. You got Vince there. It's not fucking Chavo Guerrero and Adam Rose.
Well, that's
Rose
why I'm saying it looks
fuck.
Fake now. That's why I think it looks fake, because it's not the actual.
No, I do believe if you have a pull apart with like a Roman or a Big E, I do believe Vince would be like, I'm not going. You jobbers, go get them. Because he don't see them as that guy anyway. Like, yeah. Am I supposed to believe, like, a Vince has got to come out to
from
pull
Bo
apart?
Dallas.
Like, come on. Maybe if The Rock and Roman were, then I could believe that. If The Rock
the
and
Rock
Roman
would
were trying to do
it.
A pull apart, that's where you get a Vince McMahon. But.
Yeah. All right, so when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about, we're going to talk a little bit more about this Raw. All right, we're back, and we are talking March 3rd, 1997. So let's talk a little bit about this. This is the first show where we're talking about the Austin 316 shirt. Austin actually wears the shirt. He's got the hunting jacket on. It's Bex. It's
very memorable promo.
Yeah, but it's put in backstage because they were in Europe, and this episode is when they do the European title. The European title was so they're splicing in stuff from the studio in between. But this just so happens to be the first time we see Austin wearing the Austin 316 shirt. and he cuts the promo, and he pretty much just, he just rags on. He's like, you treat me like a dog and expect me to smile. What do you, you know, what do you want?
You remind me of a jackass.
You remind me. I mean, yeah, he has such a great, I mean, it's,
you know, by this point, they already announced the match, right? That they're going to do the match at WrestleMania.
I think they do, yeah, that they're going to do the submission match. Which,
by this point, they already announced that they're going to do that match for WrestleMania 13.
Yeah. No, they did, yeah. I mean, but I don't think they had the submission match yet. Did they have the submission match stipulation yet?
I'm not quite sure. I do feel like that came a week later, but I'm not sure. But more importantly, we got to talk. This is the first time Austin wears the Austin 316 shirt. You know, yes. a couple weeks before this, this is the first time you see the Austin shirt, which we mentioned before. This is important because this, for me, started a tradition that WWE would push on their top guy for the next 20-something years of... And they did the same thing with Hogan. It's the guy selling the shirt.
Yeah.
Which happened to be the best-selling shirt.
Yes, they did announce the submission match. It was announced. Mm. It was a submission match.
So he's wearing the Austin 316. Now, you got to remember, at this point, the wrestlers weren't wearing the shirts anymore. You know, like, there was no one wearing their merch because at the time, like I mentioned before, most of the merchandise that they were doing were full print shirts, which look cool for kids, but those adults aren't going to buy a shirt with a person's face all over.
Yeah, like if you look at the Shawn Michaels shirt. Yeah. Like,
you're not going to see Shawn wearing a shirt with his face all over.
Well, actually, he would wear that shirt.
In 94, maybe. Yeah, in 94, he totally would. But main event, Shawn Michaels wouldn't. That's not main event shit.
Yeah, no.
What was the first shirt Shawn Michaels ever wore?
I don't know.
DX shirt.
Oh, was it?
I'm main event Shawn. I'm talking about main event.
Oh, main event. Okay, the 97.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm talking about once he was already the guy.
Well, once we had the 97, you know.
DX
shirt was cool. I mean, that was,
but that's why he wore the shirt. Main eventers don't wear shit that looks stupid, because, and that's the point, all the shirts they were releasing at the time were stupid.
I mean, the DX shirt, you know, this followed, you know, the same path as the Austin 316 shirt. I would say that's the second best shirt they did, because it, you know, probably. it had a coolness to it. It just look cool. And then they, you know,
but this was the path set for.
This is the path for cool Austin merchandise.
This is iconic because this would begin the start of Austin wearing the biggest selling shirt they ever had. You gotta understand, like, it's not even close. The NWO maybe is close. That's about it. And WWF, it blew past Hogan's record, like destroyed it. I think even DX destroyed it. I'm not sure, but
yeah,
Austin's destroyed it. He has the single season earnings record in WWE history to this day.
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, okay, so they announced it's going to be a submission match, which in some ways already paints him as a babyface. Even though Austin says that he was told that he was turning that night, that day.
I believe.
But it looks like they're already positioning him as a babyface, because by putting him in a submission match, remember Austin was at home when he heard about this.
Okay, like, Justin, I don't have ask any you one question, match. Almost rhetorical. Do you really think Vince put that kind of thought into it?
No, but I think Brett did. I think Brett probably thought, you know, this is good. Let's do a submission match so we can do it.
Brett spoken. He doesn't. He initially he thought it was a bad idea.
Yes.
Because he thought that it limited the finishes you can have, so it would limit the amount of hold spots you could do, because now it's a submission match, meaning any potential for a hold spot has to be a hold, which to him drastically limited the match. Because think about it, like
I just remember Austin being pissed because he's like, I don't get any submission moves.
Yeah, they both didn't like the idea. It was not Bret Hart's idea.
So do you think, because I mean, at this point in time, this is still, this isn't senile events we have today. So maybe that's something he keeps close to his, to the guest, where he thinks that this is going to work.
I want, you know what I want to think? I don't have no proof of this. This is what I want to think. This is just a romantic. I want to think that Pat was like, I want this to be a submission match because I want to see what they can come up with to challenge. I want to see what Steve can do to challenge himself in this situation. I kind of want to see, like, I want to see what they can come up with. Like, almost as an obstacle to see if he was testing him.
What does Brett say in his book? I mean, because he had to have written about this in the book. I haven't read his book. I need to read his book.
Like, from I ain't read his book, but I've listened to him countless times in different interviews talking about it, and so awesome. They both didn't like the match idea. They both weren't that enthusiastic about the finish, you know. But by the end of it, like, I think in the last week or so, they started thinking of spots and whatever, and Brett said that I never could have imagined we were gonna have a match that good, but by the first minute of the match, I knew this was gonna be one of the best matches I ever had. But before we got in the ring, I did not know, and I love that, because I love that kind of mindset. You know, once you're in the ring, because that's when it's real.
We'll call it in the ring.
Yeah.
What else you want to say about this promo?
I think it was very poignant for the era, because it was the first of something we would see a lot, which is Austin 316 shirt and making you the last thing you thought about after watching Raw for the next day for the water cooler talk or the schoolroom talk was. Did anybody watch that Austin promo? Did anybody see what Austin said? Did you see the new shirt? That shit looks so cool. Yeah. Stone Cold. You weren't talking about WWF. WWF in 98 wasn't called WWF anymore, at least not in Florida. It was called Stone Cold. You saw Stone Cold? Yeah. You saw Stone Cold, or you saw Sable? Oh shit! That was what it was called in that point.
Now, by this point, you know you're talking about you think this is one of his best promos.
It has so much venom. Like, the amount of watching it now, it almost looked like he was so mad they made this match. Like, he's like, first you made me win King of the Ring, and then you don't even let me have the title match at SummerSlam. Then you make me win the Rumble, and then you make me not main event WrestleMania. If that wasn't bad enough, now you got to make it a submission match. The one thing I don't do.
Yeah.
And then you give it to Bret Hart, who's a submission guy, like in a kayfabe fashion.
Yeah.
Because that's how they think of it. It's like, kayfabe, how am I supposed to work this match?
But he also talks about Ken Shamrock being right about, you know. Talk a little bit about that.
It was interesting because it seemed to me with Austin and Brett, they would mention Ken Shamrock here and there in their comments, and as it got closer to WrestleMania, even more so. It almost felt like he was like the third.
But we jumped. I mean, in the promo, he talks about, you know, Ken Shamrock talks about, you know, being right about him not being able to having any give in him.
Oh yeah,
he mentions that
he don't have.
And then he talks about how when Shawn Michaels hurts his hurts his little leg. They make a big video out of it. I blow out my knee and there ain't nothing they do. You know, like he did, these are the things that I, and then he starts saying, you know.
Wait, how is that not a babyface promo?
At the time, because he was still.
Yeah, but think about that. He just said Shawn Michaels, the boy toy. You know, you make a damn video with some corny ass music in the background for some fucking joke. The dude vacated the title because he didn't want a fucking job. Right? Stone Cold's wrestling fucked up since before the Rumble. And does he get a video? No.
He's got to wrestle with one leg. With, you know, and then he's saying that, you know, he's not trying to make fun of one-legged people, you know, obviously.
Which to me was a sign that was teasing babyface, because to me, Austin a month before that wouldn't have said that. He would have said, fuck the one-legged people. It's a very minor note, but you got to remember, like, for a character like Austin, like, every little thing counted. And to me, I truly believe 1 month before this, he wouldn't have mentioned that little line. Because that means right there at that moment, he's already having ideas in his head about being a babyface. Mm-hmm. Or you would not say that kind of line. I know it doesn't mean much, but that's not a line you say unless you're planning on turning soon. Think about it.
But he doesn't, but nobody told him he's turning till that day.
I know.
So did they clue him?
I don't know. I don't know if they clued him in. I don't know if maybe he was.
But you bring up a good point. Why is he saying this if he's not turning babyface?
Maybe he sensed that was the direction. Maybe, well, you got to remember, it's Austin. His instincts when it came to the crowd was good. Maybe he felt the crowd was turning, which is very probable. And he felt that it was going to happen, which is not uncommon at the era. Let's be honest, the whole double turn happened because they both knew what was happening.
Yeah, but do you I don't know, it's just
do you,
I mean what, it's
do you think they mentioned it to him beforehand, or maybe Pat was like, I'm not telling you you're gonna turn, but
get ready,
have that in mind.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, because I'm just like,
that's what, man, this that's is what this company is missing. You're
this
missing
is a pre-taped interview, isn't it? I mean, they're in Europe. They had to splice this in. There's no way they're doing that live.
Yeah.
They're gonna say it's live, but there's no way it's actually live.
Not yet. They weren't.
Not yet. They didn't have. They didn't have the tech. I'm still surprised they were even able to do a Raw. You know, I mean, this was the Raw that they got.
They could have done
the Raw that they got killed on with Nitro. Nitro just destroyed them as they did a show in Europe, and I think this is the next show when. They bring in Russo.
I never liked those Europe shows.
No, because they're filmed in a different way. They've got this, like, they're using PAL cameras and stuff, as opposed to, you know, it's got this old look. It feels like I'm watching Doctor Who.
All the arenas foggy as fuck.
Yeah, I thought you took us out of the smoky arenas, Vince. But yeah, this is the first time. Yeah, like we're really starting to see Austin come alive here. I mean, he's hitting that, you know, he's like, you know, you this guy gets hurt and I don't, you know, you don't see me whining about it.
And to me, that's what I feel that happened. This promo was just another sign. It was a sign of the crowd saying, you know what, he's right. Why the fuck do we even like Sean? This guy leaves every fucking 2 months, and Brett leaves every time that he gets mad. But this guy, who always keeps getting screwed, never says he gets screwed, and we're booing him? Something don't sound right to me. I'd be as mad as him if I was getting screwed around this much.
Yeah,
there was just something primal about how his promos were. It's like, there's an intensity that when he complains, it feels like it comes from the soul. When Brett was doing it, it just seemed like, you're like a pandering little bitch.
Yeah.
And with Austin, it just feels like a guy that like works so hard and just constantly, constantly, constantly fucked.
Yeah.
You know, and we got the rich boy complaining that he had to eat the bad caviar.
Yeah, it's basically, yeah, that's that. I think that's a good way to look at it. Yeah. I mean, that's why they had so much more levels to go with the Shawn feud that they never even touched on.
They couldn't. Like, it would have been so good. Left. You know, that's the biggest problem with Montreal. It was a choice that he picked Shawn over Brett because he thought that Shawn was going to last longer. The dude didn't wrestle the entire Attitude Era. You would have got
We got him in January and we got him in March. That's it.
We would have gotten way more mileage out of Brett.
But would have been great is if Austin did bring out that look, you had your old, bring up those things, bring up those real things that are feeling like you got this whole company by the balls, but you ain't met me, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and your time is up, son. Your time is up.
It's like that angle that I fucking love. Like Shawn always trying to do what Shawn does. Yeah. And
like Shawn wouldn't sell for him.
No.
I feel like he wouldn't sell the thing. Like he wouldn't be the spoiled shit.
You could say what you want, but that damn thing is coming to my shoulder.
Yeah, I love it. He's like, you don't come on national TV and rub a belt. Austin's face. Hey, son, I got your belt right here. He switched it with the toy. But there was so much more they could have done with Austin and Shawn that they just never touched on.
Honestly, I think the only good segment that they did good, like,
was the first walkout, that confrontation. We'll talk about.
But also the one with Mike Tyson and him are like kissing his cheeks.
You mean the public workout?
That was a money TV shot, though. Like,
it wasn't on the Raw before that. It was like it was on the night before.
I didn't say it was like a Raw segment. I just said like that was a good
segment. That's what was missing. There weren't enough
because it had a level of realism. Like, I just loved the way that like Austin was struggling in that segment. Yeah. Like.
But that's what they needed. We needed more of that thing. Hey, Rich, Rich, like you said, Rich boy, how's your caviar? Stuff like that. Austin could have done that.
Of course.
It would have strengthened the dynamic between the two.
It made
because so Shawn was the corporate guy. Yeah, Shawn should have been in the, if Shawn was healthy, he should have been in the role of the Rock.
But Brett was also in that role compared to Austin.
Yeah. But he like if you had Shawn, Shawn would have been the perfect guy to be Vince's guy because he was Vince's guy.
Agreed.
And they never went that way.
The matches. Here's the thing. He was injured. Okay. But like 90, like I feel that he probably was okay by 99. 99 was very weak. Austin had no opponents. You had to fucking do Undertaker again. Oh, you know, like if you could have easily put Shawn there, you could have. I feel that the reason that Austin's heat was getting diminished by 99.
They didn't have the guys.
They didn't have nobody to face.
And that's what Jim Ross would say that. We didn't have the guys. We didn't have them. Like, you know? And then he would say the same thing about when they turned him heel. We didn't have the guys.
Even if they did have the guys, it wouldn't have worked. It didn't matter if The Rock was there. It would have been better, but the fact is, the Rock was getting booed.
And I just think they should have, looking back on him, like, you know, I always wanted Brett to drop the belt to Austin. I think that would have been the best way to do it.
That's the best story.
And then they could have gone with, then Shawn should be the guy. Well, Shawn's not going to want to be in it. He'll only come on in like a SummerSlam. So you build the SummerSlam for Shawn and let him be Vince's guy because he is Vince's guy. Everyone knows he's Vince's guy.
Let's be honest. The matches with Mick Foley would have been replaced by Shawn if he didn't leave.
Something like that, yeah. Because he really was Vince's guy.
The problem is,
it would have given it even more realism.
The thing is that Shawn would have, like, cried.
Yeah, he would have been a bitch.
I think he could have derailed it.
Yeah, he would have screwed things up. But if Shawn,
that's the reality. Let's be honest here. He would have tried to get a win. Nobody should be beating Austin at that. But nobody. Everybody take Stunner. That's it. Every finish. Stunner. 1, 2, 3. Shut the fuck up. Take the money. You know, you were making a couple hundred grand when you were running shit. X-Pac is making a couple hundred grand. Yeah. And he's a fucking
so you're making
jobber.
Millions now.
Exactly. Thank
yeah,
you.
No, like
Mankind said, like Foley said, like.
But I just think it would have been so much better. We're given it that, but you're right. You would have risked because Foley was friends with Austin.
Yeah, you.
And you
it's
know
not that Foley's you, professional.
Exactly. But you know, McMahon probably said to him, like, "Who do you want to work with?" And he's probably like, I want to work with Mick. Let me work with Mick.
Yeah, because Sean wasn't there. But if Sean was there, he wouldn't even ask Austin. He would say, well, keep the feud going. That's just a natural progression of what they used to do.
But then I think Sean would have bitched about losing.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't even gotten to finish.
Bro, he didn't even want a job to him when he had a broken back.
I know.
Imagine him healthy. Oh my God.
Forever?
It'd be a nightmare. Triple H would have never got over
this. Remember that?
If Sean was still there, Triple H would have never got over.
WrestleMania 14, and he's putting strapping him up. That would have been great. He did screw him, and he just beat the shit.
Like, just think about it. Like, he wouldn't have won a job. Triple H would have never became the star he eventually became because he'd completely be overshadowed. DX wouldn't be what I like. That's my favorite DX.
Well, you know what I think is going to happen. I think they were also planning on Triple H being one of the guys that Austin beats in, you know, the months that nobody gives a shit about. But I bet Austin was probably like, I want to work with Mick because he's got a lot of stroke now.
Yeah. What I'm saying is the only guy that could have competed for that stroke is off.
Yeah.
Because Undertaker would never do that. It's not like that's the important part. Like, it was a Shark Tank, but everybody knew who the guy was.
Right, we're talking about 98 now.
Push towards that goal.
We are going to talk about 98 in depth, but you know, that's what else. So this is this promo is awesome. Anything else to say about the promo?
You know, I think it was really the first official sign that at the very least Austin thought he might be turning babyface. I think it's just like every promo, there's a level of venom and primal, there's a primal animalistic nature to the promos he used to cut in 97 specifically.
Yes.
And in late 96. Like,
because he was really angry.
Yes.
All right.
You know, like,
yeah.
It's like, it's like comparing Michael Jordan to before he beat the Pistons to after he beat the Pistons. He was still Michael Jordan, but like,
but now he was this much better.
Yeah,
he
like
had the team.
Yeah, and he was the guy. Once you're the guy, it's different. You're not gonna have that same kind of anger. It's impossible.
Yeah. All right, so I think that wraps it up on this episode. So the truth
shall
sit
you
free.